Loco Sports fans, welcome to another edition of the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. I'm Justin Jarrett, joined as always by Wes Kerr and Carlo Peruzza, and it's time to preview some high school football, starting with the South Carolina High School League Week 4 schedule. Got five games featuring Loco teams that we're going to get through. Battery Creek at Oceanside Collegiate, James Island at Hilton Head High, May River at Colleton County, Bluffton at Beaufort High, and Whale Branch at Cross. And we will start it with Battery Creek, guys. The Dolphins have lost two straight since that impressive opener against Academic Magnet. It's been against really strong competition in Hanahan and Bishop England, but it doesn't get any easier in week four. The Dolphins have to go on the road to Oceanside Collegiate, which is 3-0 and has already beaten both of those teams that have knocked off the Dolphins. So another uphill battle for Battery Creek this week as they face a very strong Landsharks team on the road. This is one where you hope you can stay in it and maybe have a chance at the end, but more than likely, Battery Creek's just trying to battle and be competitive and show that they can hang with one of the top teams in the state. A win is going to be really hard to come by.
Yep, so this one you're just trying to stay afloat in any way you can to maybe give yourself a chance to hang in this one as long as you can, and it's going to be a real uphill challenge for the Dolphins against a really tested, a very strong Oceanside team. The top 10 of 3A. So, we haven't seen a complete game from that Creek offense. I mean, they've played some tough matchups. They've definitely the competition that they've had to face has definitely been very strong. So it's been a challenge for the Dolphins, but can they put up a better showing? The line backing's a big strength of Oceanside, led by Brett Powell and Zach Hagenen, but this defense has only allowed 14 points in their last three games. So it's going to be a hard task to solve this Landshark defense. Certainly going to be a wonderful learning experience too for the Battery Creek offense, because this is going to be a very, very difficult task trying to get past a Oceanside defense who has just been unbelievable this past month. So I hope they try to involve Jay and Allen as much as possible. I'm sure the Landsharks will be hoping to put a stop to him, but Jeremiah Dilbert's also can really step up in every game, and he's been a very impressive asset to that Battery Creek offense. So Kobe Anderson, he's getting better. I think he's shown improvement so far, and I'd like to see a more all-around game from Jacoby Anderson. He loves to run the ball. He can throw it a little bit sometimes, but he's a guy who's been getting a lot better for the Dolphins. Oceanside loves to run the ball. Bad news for Battery Creek, who have really not shown a good run defense recently. And Vaughn Blue, 106 yards per game, just a sophomore for the Landsharks. Three guys averaging 7 yards per carry. Bryce Throckmorton, a reliable receiver, leading a team with 10 catches. So a nice senior leadership there at wide receiver. So going to be a heck of a challenge for Creek, but all the more important for Coach Ash and company to get better in this first year. Obviously, expectations are not high, especially going to Battery Creek, and even any program at your first year is so tough to kind of get acclimated to the new program that you're in and building the players that you have. And it's a year where you're just looking to improve from week one to the end of the season. And so that's what Battery Creek is trying to do. And I don't think they're going to win this one, but I think if Battery Creek can show some positivity on both sides of the ball and show that they're competing with the best in the region, I think that's a win.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Battery Creek has their work cut out for them. And one of the things they're going to have to do, they're going to have to try and stop that run offense from Oceanside Collegiate. And Wes, as you mentioned, Creek defense struggled a little bit. It hasn't been strong enough to stop a run offense like Oceanside Collegiate. So we'll see what happens. I think this one for Creek to really have a chance at winning, I think you need Jacoby Anderson to play the best of his abilities. I think it's going to have to be like a slugfest. You're going to have to try and keep up the scoring with Oceanside Collegiate, but I don't think at Battery Creek, they have some great players. They're young, new coach. I think they're just in a rebuilding phase this year, and I don't like their chances going into Friday.
Yeah, definitely going to be a tough matchup for the Dolphins on the road, but hopefully we can be writing about a huge upset on Saturday morning. All right, moving on to the Region 7 4A portion of the slate. Three games in the region this week, and because sometimes we get the non-area teams matching up, but not this time. We get all three games are going to involve our local teams. Got James Island 1-2 at Hilton Head High, 1-0. The Seahawks with an impressive performance in their debut. They got a little slow start in the first half, but turned it on after halftime. Jalen Snead and Jaden Gilliam coming up with huge plays on both sides of the ball for Hilton Head. Now they get James Island, which is sitting at 1-2 and was really overmatched against both May River and Buford High. So I think that bodes well for Hilton Head. They showed that the offense could be pretty two-dimensional. Sam Suma looking good, running that offense, taking over for Gaston Moore. And James Island has just really not been very effective on offense against quality teams. Had no answer for Buford High's offense, which a lot of people are not going to have an answer for that. But I definitely like the Seahawks' chances here, especially at home. And as you've mentioned many times, Wes, if they can get to 2-0 in region here to start things off, it gets real interesting before they have to face May River and Buford. So let's see what happens here. But I like the Seahawks on Friday night.
Yeah, I do too. And then, you know, the Seahawks, that first win or that was so, so huge. You're going in to face your rivals Bluffton. No easy task for the Seahawks to find that energy and find that successful play right out of the gate where you haven't played a live opponent yet, because normally you have a bunch of opportunities with non-region games early in the season to kind of get your feet wet into this new season, kind of see what your team's about. They couldn't do that, but they were still able to knock out the Bluffton Bobcats. And so, as you said, Jaden Gilliam, along with, of course, the big star for the Seahawks, Jalen Snead, showing up, both being integral parts to that Hilton Head win. Snead doing it on offense, too, running some touchdowns. And, of course, the spectacular linebacker he is on defense, and Jaden Gilliam stepping up, filling that void left by Christian Miller, Cole DeMarzo, Eli Hickey. And, boy, did he have a outstanding debut in this first game of the season. And as you said, Trojan offense has not been able to put it together so far on the defensive end either. And can the Seahawks put up another solid game with Jaden Gilliam and Jalen Snead, and can that defensive line play well additionally? And Sam Suma, I mean, he's been really impressive so far. Now with the game under his belt, he should be even better. We saw some, I mean, of course, we saw how much BJ Payne talked him up. We saw a lot of that in this first week, but I just feel like now that Sam Suma, now he's gotten his feet wet, now he's gotten that first game under his belt, I think he's going to be even better and should have a fantastic performance against a James Island squad that has struggled on both ends of the field. And he just, I hopefully he can keep giving Jalen Snead the ball. I mean, he was a big factor in offense against the Bobcats, and they should just continue with that and then play to your strengths. And that's Jalen Snead run game as well. And you know what? You need this one in order to stay on pace to contend for that playoff spot. And if they take this one, as you said, it's going to get very interesting because they'll have an opportunity to take on May River in what could be a very big game. If they can beat May River, they could take their spot in second place.
Yeah, absolutely. This game's going to be pretty good. I had the chance to see Hilton Head play their first game of the season last week at Bluffton. And Jalen Snead, what a player. He's fast. Three touchdowns in that last game. What a threat offensively and defensively. And, you know, Sam Suma, as you guys mentioned, he did a wonderful job taking over from Gaston Moore. It's going to be interesting to see what he's going to be like against James Island.
And you could just tell those kids were just so happy to be on the field when they scored the first touchdown in the first quarter. I mean, that team just erupted. You can tell they've been waiting for that moment all summer and through this rough start of the beginning of the season. But it's going to be interesting. As you guys mentioned, James Island, they didn't do too well against May River or Buford. So we'll see what happens to a team like Hilton Head. It's going to be interesting, but I think Hilton Head's going to be able to get it done.
All right, so we are in consensus. Seahawks are going to be 2-0 on Saturday morning. May River looking to bounce back from that tough loss to Buford High, 37-14. They're sitting at 2-1. They travel to Colleton County, which is 1-1. So this is another key matchup here. I mean, it on paper, it looks like it shouldn't be too much trouble for the Sharks. We know that they're going to have a chip on their shoulder after last week. They're going to come out wanting to make a statement. But the Cougars definitely have some weapons at their disposal. Their offense was pretty solid against Bluffton. Their defense also played well. So they are no pushover by any means. May River will have to clean up some of the mental mistakes and the missed assignments and things like that to be able to get this done. But I have great faith in that coaching staff that they'll have the Sharks back in top form this week and get a W at Colleton County. But what do you guys think?
Well, May River, they got completely knocked down to the mat last week against a Buford squad that was frankly the better team, both sides of the ball. So how can the Sharks bounce back? And, you know, I think it starts with running the ball. And I know Ahmad Green didn't have a great game, but I think he'll be able to take advantage of a Colleton County defense that is certainly not as potent as Buford. And even when Ahmad Green struggled against the Buford Eagles, I thought Jaden Jones and Cameron Scott did very well. So if they can mix it up between those three guys, not just Ahmad Green, but giving the ball to Jones and Scott, who are making plays on their own against the Buford Eagles. And so I thought they both played very well under the radar. So I would keep giving them opportunities to get some carries as well, along with Ahmad Green. And hopefully they can find a way to get the passing offense going, because I think all their opponents kind of a blueprint on what to do now, especially once they get into the playoffs. If they make it there, they're going to need they're going to have to throw the ball more, because those defenses are going to be playing the run first. And if May River, Ahmad Green can find a way to get the ball downfield, throw to Stephon Gadsden or some of those other receivers. And that was kind of one of the questions coming into the season, is who's going to catch the football. Terry Fields is gone. And of course, Gadsden's there, but can there be some other young guys, some other players who can contribute on the wide receiver side? They have some tight ends who can catch the ball too. May River does. So yeah, if they can get the passing game going, that's going to be a big boon to the Sharks going forward. And Ahmad Green, he needs to step up. It's senior year. I mean, he needs to make a statement passing and throwing the ball. And this could be your season right here. Like, I mean, you can't afford to lose any games at all now that you dropped that one with only two teams making it through the region. And so Ahmad Green needs to play a great game. You can't afford to make any mistakes. And you got to give all credit to the Buford defense there. But Ahmad Green, it just wasn't a great game for him. But I think he's going to be hungry to step up and play his best against Colleton County. And I think the defense should be able to stop the Cougars. Can the run defense do a better job in this one? And I'm sure the pass defense is point after giving up that long bomb. I think May River defensively, they should be able to have a bounce back effort against the Cougars. And so I think as long as Maver plays their game, gets back to their game and avoids any mistakes, they should be fine. They should pick up the win over the Cougars.
Yeah, for May River, this is a really big one. Obviously, weren't happy with the result against Buford last week, but it's a new week. And Wes, as you mentioned, I really think Ahmad Green needs to have that fire lit from under him, and I think he really needs to go off. And I think that whole May River team needs to have a game on Friday against Colleton County, and I really think they will. You know, May River's a strong team. They're good. They're really talented. They're one of the best teams in the region. And you know, this is important. They want to go to the playoffs. They want to try and make a run. They need to beat Colleton County, and I think they're going to go in there, and I think they're going to beat them pretty good.
Yeah, Colleton County gave up 28 points to James Island last week after the Trojans only scored 13 in their first two games combined, albeit against May River and Buford. But I just don't see Colleton County really being able to shut down that May River offense. They just don't have the size up front and the skill that that Buford defensive line has, and really at all levels. I mean, Buford's better at every level on defense, I think. So I don't think May River will have any trouble moving the ball, putting up points, and I think they'll get some style points as well and set themselves up for a big game with Hilton Head the following week. So no question for me that May River will bounce back, as we've seen them do many times. And the final game in that region this week, Bluffton is 0-3, and they've got another tough one because now they have to go to Buford High on that beautiful new turf. The Eagles have looked absolutely dominant the first two games of the season, blew away James Island in a total rout, and then just controlled the game against May River and came away with a very convincing win. So I don't think there's a lot of drama here. I think Buford should take care of this one pretty easily. Bluffton getting better. You know, they definitely have some individual pieces, but just don't have the guys to compete with Buford on either side of the ball, in my opinion.
Yep. This one is going to be a big blowout. Hopefully the Bobcats can continue to battle and show some life and respond to what Buford's doing. It's going to be a very, very difficult challenge for a Bluffton team that's just outmatched by an amazing Buford defensive line that should be able to shut down Kylan Simmons. and pretty much anything that Bluffton will want to do. And so Simmons, he's a fantastic running back, but my goodness, Iman Smalls, Theo Washington, Alvin Wilson have just been astronomically good so far this year. And can Hoyt test the Buford secondary? I mean, Buford's been good at all sides defensively, but I would like to see Nate Hoyt try to throw the ball out there. I mean, you got nothing to lose. It's a game where, I mean, I don't see them competing. So why not take a couple chances and then throw some passes? And I think Hoyt's been getting better. And I think they got a great weapon in Jalen Linder, who's been catching some really nice touchdowns recently. So hopefully Bluffton will be able to put together some drives against the Eagles, but it's going to be really tough to do so. Tyler Haley for the Eagles. What an amazing performance. How can you build on that? I think in this game, just keep it simple, run the ball. You got Amari Morris, Jalen Hausler, who put up some really, really good numbers. Casey Fields as well in that May River game. And so I just run it down Bluffton, who is not showing a very good run defense at all. And so I think it's pretty simple to what to do in terms of on the offensive side. For the Buford Eagles, don't have to do anything fancy. Continue to run the football, and you should be fine. We'll see if they'll use any of Daniel Ferry's kind of the option. We really see it much because Tyler Haley was so good, but and he just maybe in a situation that comes up later, maybe on the goal line or in some other situation, like a fourth down play, if they want to switch things up, Daniel Ferry is always there. Maybe that'll come in handy a little later once they get into the playoffs, but. It just makes the offense even more amazing if they can use another weapon, which is Daniel Ferries. And so, Buford's just an all-around offensive powerhouse, and they should continue it against the Bluffton Bobcats. Would love to see Bluffton compete, but they are just outmatched everywhere on the field. Buford's just right now a top 10 team in 4A, and they definitely proved it against the May River Sharks last week. So this should be all Buford. I hope Bluffton and Coach John Hopp and Nate Hoyt and those guys can put up a fight, but I don't see them have any chance hanging with the Eagles, who've just been so dominant.
Yeah, I've actually covered Bluffton now all three of their games, I want to say. I've seen them play, and they're young. They're in a rebuilding phase. They're struggling, and they're about to face a two-headed monster in Buford on Friday. So it's going to be an uphill battle for the Bobcats. They have some bright spots. Like, I really enjoy watching Kylan Simmons. He is an absolute monster, but that team is just, they're young. They can't get the offense figured out. Nate Hoyt's having issues so far this season. The defense is having some issues, and I think Buford's going to go in there, and they're going to blow this one out. And I think this one's going to be done at halftime. I mean, watching them, wow. They're great defensively. That defense of Iman Smalls is just so amazing. And then offensively, Tyler Haley's a monster. I mean, this team won the region last year without him, and now Haley's back, and he is looking like he's like a, I don't know, like a Patrick Mahomes, Buford County version out there. I mean, he is playing very well and a really fun player to watch, and I think Buford wins big.
Yeah, I think a lot would have to go wrong for Buford, and a lot would have to go right, really, really right for Bluffton for this to be competitive. I think we've reached a point here where Bluffton's out of playoff contention. They're playing to try to develop these, you know, some of these younger players for the future and have a brighter future. And, you get better by playing, and you get better by playing top competition. So this is an opportunity for the Bobcats to go up against a top 10 caliber team in Class 4A, the front runner to win the region title. And that's how you get better. I mean, you may take your lumps, but it'll come back to roost later on. So I know the Bobcats will be eager for the opportunity to try to knock off Buford, but it's going to be an uphill climb for them. Buford just so good. I mean, the two running backs are equally capable of hurting you. They're able to spread out the workload, so they have fresh legs throughout the night. And then Haley can just do so much. And we've seen those receivers, you know, Casey Fields and Marcus Goodwater are guys who can make things happen on the outside. They just have a lot of weapons, and they look so good on the line of scrimmage. It's just hard to beat anybody who's that good in the trenches on both sides of the ball. So I think it's going to be a great run for Buford here. I look forward to watching them play in November. And for Coach John Hopp and the Bobcats, we hope they find some positive silver linings in this season and maybe pull off an upset here or there and have something to build on for next year. All right, we got another team that's looking like a region champ contender, and that is Whale Branch. Wes, I know you had them up to number 6 in your Class 1A poll this week. We both think they have potential to climb much higher than that. They went on the road last weekend, had a phenomenal win, just able to grind it out without their best stuff, get the walk-off touchdown pass from Jalen Reeves to Ja'Kai Pouche, 40-yard bomb at the buzzer to win 21-20 at Baptist Hill. That was the game they had circled as the must-win to be region champs, but now it shifts to this week at Cross. And Cross is 2-1, and they played Baptist Hill very competitively as well, lost in overtime. So this looks like a pretty even matchup. And if the Warriors win it, then they are essentially assured of the region championship, barring something really bizarre. But if they lose, then it becomes an interesting, you know, three-way situation where you have to get into tiebreakers. And I'm not even going to waste my energy trying to figure out tiebreakers before it happens. I've learned that lesson in the past. But Whale Branch, another tough road test. I think they probably learned a lot from how to get by in a tough situation where you didn't have your offense really going last week. They didn't do as much as they have in the run game. Got a little bit more out of the passing game than we've seen, though, so that's promising. But this is definitely a tough matchup against Cross.
Yeah, they must be flowing with confidence after the unbelievable victory coming from behind on a night where you didn't have it but still able to pull out a huge win over Baptist Hill, and now you can take that momentum into a game where you can pretty much clinch the region championship if you come out victorious, and the opportunity is there. Can they finish the job against the Cross team who really battled with Baptist Hill, as you said earlier on this season? Should be a very, very close, even matchup. Love for Whale Branch to get off to an early, fast start in this game, you know, correct some mistakes from last week. It's hard to play from behind. I think they'd love to start off on the right footing and put some early scores on the board. Either it's if you get the first possession, come down the field and get some points, or if it's defense first, make a three and out, make a stop. Just get that momentum early in a ball game, and once you do that, then you have that good vibes flowing on the sidelines, and you can really take it from there. Cross, it's kind of interesting because Baptist Hill, they love to throw the ball, but Cross is almost exclusively runs the ball. 847 rushing yards, just 132 through the air. So it's going to be up to the Warriors front seven. Should be able to crowd the box and play some solid run defense that they've shown so far. And got to watch out for senior Tylee Green, over 100 yards per game, along with Santori Jones, who's only a sophomore, who's been playing well. But they'll give a lot of other carries to some running backs and to some guys who run it and catch it for Cross. So Caden White, their quarterback, hasn't thrown many balls. He's been kind of inaccurate so far. So don't expect too many passes. So another reason to get ahead of this team early, to kind of force more of a run pass offense, because we haven't seen many good plays from Caden White so far this year. But Whale Branch defense has been solid throughout the last couple of weeks. Had some struggles. They had their tough parts of last week, but if they can get out and start early, as I've said, that's the key. Then they can really take momentum with them and be able to shut down this Cross offense. And so on the other side of the ball, you got Tua Green, who's an outstanding linebacker, second on the team in tackles beyond Damian Harris, who's a beast himself, already picking up 6 sacks. So that's going to be a guy the Warriors will have to keep an eye on and protect him from Jalen Reeves. And I mean, I really liked how much Jalen Reeves threw the ball. Obviously, when you're behind, you have to throw the ball more often than you run it. But I think that's something that's kind of positive that the Whale Branch Warriors can say that, yeah, we can throw the ball too. I mean, we can mix it up on offense. And so that's something that you're going to have to see, and I'd love to see Whale Branch be able to do that. So I think it's going to be a battle. I think you expect another close game, but if Whale Branch can play a full 48 minutes and keep those mistakes to a minimum, I think they'll be coming across with the win in the region title.
Yeah, definitely a big road game for Whale Branch on Friday against Cross. I'm actually going out to Whale Branch, and I'm going to do a little story on the team. Preview video for Friday, but it should be interesting. Excited to meet the boys. They've been having some great success so far this season. Coach Hatcher always does a really good job there.
One of the players that really been hearing a lot about, Jalen Reaves, obviously covered him on basketball and now going to be able to cover him on football. But yeah, definitely, as you guys mentioned, this is going to definitely be a very close game. And this game is going to probably have some say in who's going to win the region. So, you know, tough game for Whale Branch. They're going against off a very dangerous team on the road and Cross. So we'll see what happens. I think for Whale Branch, I think they need to get on the scoreboard early. I think they need to be the ones in a close game like that. You need to strike first. You need to kind of establish the dominance. You need to gain that momentum from the jump, and then you need your defense to hold them. I mean, it sounds a lot easier than done by saying it, but I think those are some keys for the Warriors to achieve success.
Yeah, I think that's especially important when you go on the road, getting off to a good start. Don't let it start to snowball early. You know, you're in a tough environment. You may have some calls go against you, a little home cooking. You never know what you're going to get on the road. So just establish it early, get on top, play from ahead. It's a lot easier than playing from behind, especially when you're a run first team. I do like that matchup for Whale Branch's defense. You know, I think when they can pin their ears back against a team that's run first and isn't really going to hurt you through the air, they got a couple guys, you know, in the secondary who can sit back and make sure they don't get burned deep. But when they can let the linemen and linebackers pin their ears back and go after the football, they're going to be pretty tough to move the ball on and score on, because they got a bunch of great athletes who really fly to the ball. And I think that's a good matchup for them. I don't see Cross putting up a ton of points. They're pretty strong on defense, though. So, you know, it could be a little bit of a defensive battle like we saw last week that comes down to the wire. But we've seen Whale Branch get it done in crunch time. And so I think they'll be able to do it again. The really interesting thing about this is, with the two teams per region making the playoffs, you know, this could form a three-way tie where you have three teams tied for first place and one of them gets left out of the playoffs. So it's an especially huge game for both teams. Cross has to win to have any shot at the playoffs. Whale Branch can lock up the region title for all intents and purposes with the win, with the weaker part of the region schedule coming up. So a huge game, probably the game of the week, honestly. If I'm picking it on the high school league slate, I just think it has potential to come down to the wire, and the stakes are the highest. So that's the one I would say is probably the game of the week. Should be a lot of fun. All right, guys. Well, that is it for the high school league slate for this week. Looking forward to covering these games on Friday night, getting you the recaps and multimedia coverage out by Saturday. Carlo will have the highlights from around the Loco. We'll have our recap show coming out either Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, whenever we find the time to get it in. We'll get you all filled in on what happened and break it all down for you. That's going to do it for this episode of the Loco Sports Lowdown. If you like what you hear, we've got 5 episodes a week, so be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, or get a notification every time we drop a new episode. Thanks for being here for this one. Until next time, go Loco.